Blog Talk Radio.
All right. There is the notification that lets us know we're live. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight. And it's good to have you with us every night. And thank you for being out there sharing this gospel everywhere we go. May the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it be yours tonight, wherever you may be around the world. We speak over all of our friends in Europe and Asia, Russia, across all of the world, wherever you may be. May the power of Almighty God live in you richly. May his word manifest in your daily life. And may your enemy run in fear of the righteousness in which you live every single day. May you grab every friend you can get and share this message with them right here, right now, and every single day in Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
Here we go. It is time to share the screen. There we go. Give me just a second. We'll rise together. Why are you doing that? Wow. That was a much longer process than normal. Here we go. Rise together with me. Let's make our pledge of allegiance. Render your honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who paid the last full measure of devotion, those who are in their lifetime are now carrying the scars of combat in their spirit, soul, and body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, And now, join with us as we begin our opening time of prayer this evening. Everybody pray this prayer with us as we begin our prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration. As your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ, filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now our verse of the month for March. Our Father promises us a future, a hope, and a sure reward. Know that skillful and godly wisdom is so very good for your life and soul. If you find wisdom, then you will be a future and a reward, and your hope and expectation will not be cut off. Proverbs 24:14. Hey, wait. Somehow I missed one here. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. The commanded blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. This is the chapter that is all about the body of Christ and the value of Almighty God has placed on every one of us. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And now I declare over the body of Christ and over every patriotic event going anywhere in this nation, in the mighty name of Jesus, may the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it bless every believer around the world that is praying to you right now, Bless them with courage. Bless them with strength. Bless them with the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Everybody say this. We bless the body of Christ all across this nation and around the world. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Everybody say it with me. Fill me, Lord, with all of the fullness of God. According to God's holy word.
According to God's holy word.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
Ephesians 4, 14. So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Everybody pause for a minute. Just say it with me. I am growing up in God.
I am growing up in God.
Amen. I am growing up in God because of Jesus. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Say it with me. Revival in the executive branch.
Revival in the executive branch.
Revival in the legislative branch. Revival in the judicial branch.
Revival in the judicial branch.
Revival amongst all of our peacemakers.
Revival amongst all of our peacemakers.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty
name. Now, Father, we bless all of this world tonight. Men and women of God who are standing in faith and speaking Psalm 91 over every one of these battlefields, wherever they may be around the world. In the name of Jesus, we speak life and life more abundantly to the righteous. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the wicked flee, wicked men all over this world. No, let me say it differently. I didn't say it right. May the deceived and the confused flee from wicked men all over this world. World, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. May God bless America. Pause for a minute. Thank you, Father, that you have blessed this great nation.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Almost 250 years, your hand has been leading us, and we declare, long will this land be bright.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. United we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright, freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Aren't you glad that the righteous are as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah that's on the inside of them?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Here we go, the declaration against the isms. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all the effects of the isms.
Atheism, secular humanism,
communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for the United States of America to fall into,
you fall
into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 144, 14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. We'll just keep clicking till we get everybody back into place where we oughtn't be. Now, welcome everybody. It's good to have you with us here today. For those of you that are around the world on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Blog Talk Radio, or any other platform wherever somebody might share this, bless you this evening. YouTube is now alive and going tonight. Now, as you can see, Jesus didn't return today. Anybody want to say bummer with me? Yeah, there you go. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I am truly believing God that, let me say it differently. I got to say that with a different effect than what I was. As you watch the news, I'm more convinced than ever that we are at the close of this time, this age. I'm asking God, how do we take what we do and reach more people? How do we take what we do and reach more people? Because I want to reach more people. I feel like a person that's standing in a major city, running up and down the sidewalk saying, Jesus is coming. Would you just get your life right? Jesus is coming. Would you just get your life right? Jesus is coming. Would you just get your life right? Well, Pastor, why are you saying it like that? Because I'm telling you right now, Jesus is coming, and you got to be right with God in order to be in that rapture when it comes. I actually have been asking people on my phone if they know Jesus. We've got to do it. And I've been seeking wisdom of how to do it. I don't remember what my actual friends number. I think I'm like at 1,780 friends on my Facebook page. And I've never yet once sent a message to every one of them. I don't know if Facebook has a place where you can send a message to every one of them. But I'm going to tell you something that's getting ready to happen. They're all getting ready to get a message from me. Even if they disconnect themselves from me and are no longer my friend, it's okay. Why? Because I want everybody on my social media platform to know who Jesus is in my life. You have been limited to 50? Mary.
That's all right. I don't think I have that many either, Mary. I'm not on it enough.
Now, I've been on Facebook for, I don't know, who knows how long. I've been on for quite a while. My kids helped me get connected way back in. I didn't want to be on it, but then, once I got on here, I'm like, wow, this is a great way to be around people and help people understand. Oh, you can only share up to 50 shares. Well, I know this on my messenger thread when I send you guys the proverb that I've been able to send 80 of them at a time to 80 different people. And so that's a pretty cool thing that's there. I know this. Jesus is coming. And the worst day in anybody's life ever, I don't care who you are, the worst day in your life will be the day if a person were to miss the rapture and all of a sudden realize, wait, where's Pastor Sam? And they message me. And they text my phone. They call me on the phone. The next thing you know, my voicemail box is full. And guess what? they say, uh-oh, it's probably that rapture thing he's talking about. And then they go to my Facebook site and they see that God has pulled my rapture post up to the top and pinned it for me. So that anybody on Facebook from then on will be able to say, this is what you do if you miss the rapture. They only allow sharing 50 at one time? Well, don't tell anybody because I've been getting 84 at a time. I like that. Thank you, Jesus. That would mean I'd only have to do that about 10 times. 20 times, and I would get everybody in my whole Facebook thing. What are you talking about? I want you to reach everybody you know for Jesus. We've got to do it, guys. Time is so short. Time is so short. And can you imagine getting to heaven and your loved one not being there? What is one Facebook post? What's one Messenger post that might help them understand who Jesus is? Now, I've been working, I don't have it up yet. I've been working on several different videos that I can create that will be a short video saying, this is what you do if you miss the rapture. Number one, don't miss the rapture. Amen? And then I just want to create about four or five of them that you can send to people, put them all in one message and send them so that they get a really good understanding of what this is all about. Because I don't want any of my friends to miss heaven. I stood with so many amazing patriots during the Patriot Guard. I don't want any of them to miss heaven. Remember, some amazing men and women. I want to see everybody who knows Samuel J. Cottle make it into heaven. Wouldn't that be something if every one of your friends could make it into heaven? God help us get it done. Amen. And so you just keep working on it with me. If you get a good idea for a video, a teaching like that, let me know. Shoot me a message. Why? Because it's not hard to do. All I got to do is sit down right here and have internet and bam, I can make a message. And then you and I can send it around everywhere we go until people really begin to come to know Jesus. And I want everyone we know to have that opportunity to know our Jesus. And use every bit of these platforms to the best of our ability. Now, I have not as of yet gone into all of the just absolutely crazy, wicked platforms yet. Because I only like to be where the Father wants me to be. But at the same point, may God help us get to everybody everywhere so that we can truly be a blessing to many people. Amen. And, you know, this is what I love. I love having all y'all with us. Don't miss the rapture. Okay, Missourian, he showed you. That's good, Felicia. Help, now what? Well, you know, I want to encourage some of you. Somebody find the YouTube video, Dr. Barclay's YouTube video, what to do if you miss the rapture. Now, I don't know how, that's like 28 minutes long. And I don't necessarily know that that's one you want to send, but you can if you want. But I want it to be about 6 minutes long. Something that's long and short enough that they'll watch. And yet long enough that we can put some meat in it. I don't like to eat how many ever ate a sub where it was all bread, vegetables, and about three slices of meat? And you're like, I just paid $8 for bread and vegetables. Did you not know I wanted some meat in there? And so, anyways, keep your faith with me. We'll get that done together. And then we'll just send them out. Send them everywhere we go. Put them in every group you're a part of. Put them in every group. Why? Because some of the groups will tell you not to do that. But in the process of you doing it, you got the word into some people's lives. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you're a part of. If you're a four-wheeler, find every Christian four-wheeler club and send it into there. They'll all send it around to all the other ones they're in, like you. Don't believe there's a rerun on the rapture.
these are
some awesome titles you guys are coming up with right now. And I like it because the catchier the title, the better it is to help people. They look at it and say, wow, what you guys talking about? Now, YouTube, usually I just start you when the program's just going live to preaching, but I wanted to get some of this in there. I want to say this to everybody on all of our platforms. Make sure you click like, hit the subscribe button, and ring the bell. Hit the bell for notifications so that every time we come live, you are notified of another one of the programs that we're doing. And everything we do every single day is to build life and health and strength and faith inside of your lives. And I'm really liking these titles you guys are giving me. Now tonight, we're going to be continuing in our study of the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of the Father and the gifts of the Son. Last night, we talked a bunch about how it's a free gift and God just gives it to you as a gift. Everything God has done for us is a gift. And then he expects us to take that gift and use it in this world, appropriate all of his blessing, and turn it into a life filled of great stewardship for him. I want you to think about this thought. The people who are believers, whom you have the greatest respect for, are the people who have learned to appropriate the gifts that God has given them in their life. I want you to think about this. God is doing a mighty work in this earth. Is he doing it in you? I want to make another account because I'm in jail at the moment. Then I can send out more messages, Mary. Now listen, Brother Rogers learned how to do that, Mary. You just go get another Gmail account and you just use your name and you leave one letter out. Mary Pastrick. Just leave the O out. And then the next one, when they put that one in Facebook jail, use Mary Pastrick number 2. And Mary Pastrick number 3. And just keep letting them put all them people in the Facebook jail and just keep going. And send them to more and more people. And God will help us reach everybody we can reach. And I think it's a pretty cool thing. All right. Are we ready? Grab your Bibles. You know, a while back, Mary, I had, I don't know, a couple friends that were in a situation like you where you couldn't get out and go do much because you were caring for a loved one. But I taught them to be on Facebook and YouTube and their email and go after everybody they could reach from that platform. You might not be able to go out all over your city and all over the place, but nobody can stop you from reaching people right there on your internet. And if Gmail don't like you, then start using Hotmail. And if Hotmail don't like you, then start going to AOL. I mean, there's 1,000 different email platforms, and you can just keep using them. You can just keep going to them, getting you another one. And if Google Chrome don't like you, then sign up for a different one. Why? Because you and I are going to reach people all over this world, and we're not going to stop reaching them until Jesus comes. Can I get an amen from anybody? Here we go. Did I give you the verses we're going to? All right. I want you to go with me tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No. Yes. Pastor, do you know where you're going? Are you looking at your notes? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Tonight, receive the free gift of God's love and flow in the grace gift he has given to you. There you go. There's Dr. Barclay's message, what to do if you missed the rapture. I don't know. I might have been there when that one was recorded. I don't know, but... That didn't work very good.
I think just could have put it in there.
But that's all right, whether it worked good or not. Isn't that something that they're doing that? You. Everybody pause. I was just trying to be cool, get a lot done at the same time, and I'll leave it for Stephanie Ann now. I'm on board with you, Roger. Amen. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession like we do every night. Remember, the Bible says you can have the fruit of your lips. So that means open your mouth and says something like we learned today. You ready? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
My resident
is making his word come alive.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight.
I
receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' mighty name.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Roger. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. It says the Apostle Paul, he's talking about that is a Thompson New King James Version. Amen. Chicken stir fry with noodles and cheese broccoli.
Yum.
This was worth waiting for. Glory be to God, Sister Phyllis. I'm shouting for you already, my sister. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's getting ready to talk about the gifts of the Father, or the gifts of the Spirit, and he's going to talk about the love chapter, and then he's going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit that comes when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, prophesying in chapter 14. So these next three chapters, chapter 12, 13, and 14, are all about the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. And you can't take out chapter 13, which is the love chapter, because faith works by love. If you're not in love, you're not in faith. If you're not in faith, you're not in love. Woo!
Did you give us verses?
I did. You're such a wonderful helper, and I really
12.
1 through 11.
Got it.
Here we go. Follow along. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And You'll remember from the conference, Dr. Barclay said the first part of the word ignorant is ignore. Don't ignore this. I don't want you to be an ignoring one. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. There's a lot of people that never had a bathtub in their yard with a Virgin Mary in it, but you still had an idol. Might have been yourself, might have been your husband, your wife, or your kids. What door do you want me to come to? Not sure what that means, brother.
Is it Dave?
It's Roger.
Oh. Did you say is he here?
I don't know. Verse 3. Therefore, I'll make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's one of the most accurate revelations of the voices that might speak to you. You say to a voice, if you're hearing a voice speaking to you, just say, tell that voice, say Jesus is Lord. Why? A deceiving spirit will not say Jesus is Lord. Pastor, you're going to talk to voices? I'm going to confront every effect of our enemy that comes at me, no matter where it is. Are you saying that you're hearing voices, Pastor? No. I'm telling you, there is seducing spirits. There's deceiving spirits. There is doctrines of demons. There are fiery darts. All of these things are forces that will come at you to get you to stop being who you are. You're not hearing a voice. You're being attacked by a fiery dart. Verse, and they cannot say Jesus is Lord unless the word that's coming to you is an angel or God Almighty, because there's nothing else that's supposed to be talking to you. Can I get an amen from anybody? Verse number 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. Verse 4, the gifts of the Spirit, we're getting ready to read. Verse 5, the different ministries, that's Jesus gave the fivefold ministry, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And then verse 6, there are diversities of activities, but the same God. And that's the gifts of the Father found in Romans chapter 12. Three places, three sets of gifts, one from the Father, one from the Son, one from the Holy Spirit. Right now, we're reading the gifts of the Spirit. Verse 7. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12:7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. But this is not a manifestation of you. This is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in you to bless other people all around you.
Can you repeat that again, sir, please? You said there were so many gifts from the Father, so many from the Son,
yep, I'll repeat it.
From the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
I wasn't aware of that.
All right. Look in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4.
Get a pencil.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's verse 4, right in this chapter we're reading right now.
1 Corinthians, what chapter?
12:4, the chapter that we're reading right now.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Yep. Verse 4, so that talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Verse 5 talks about the gifts of Jesus, and you find that in Ephesians 4:11. And then verse 6 says differences of activities, but it's the same God You find them in Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. And you'll see all of that in the notes for tonight that's on the family thread and on the website. All of those references are right in there. Now watch. Now we're going to read the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom. You're going to speak a word of wisdom. That's by the Spirit. These are the gifts of the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. That's by the Holy Spirit. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. So you've got the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and faith, special faith that comes by the Spirit of God. Well, now you're going to see the gifts of healing, the gifts of the working of miracles. So you got the power gifts, the gifts of faith, the gifts of working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. That's verse 9. Working of miracles, verse 10. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All nine of those gifts are by the Spirit as the Spirit wants to use them. As the Spirit wants to use them in your life and in mine, wherever he wants to. Now, I want to say this about the gifts of the Spirit. They're not for you and I to use whenever we want to. Say this with me. It's not a manifestation of me. These are gifts of the Spirit that only come to you and I when the Holy Spirit wants to use us. Now, they might happen in through you all day long, every day. That's very well could be the case. But what you and I have to see is it is as the Spirit chooses to use those gifts. It's not a manifestation of you. There's a lot of people in the kingdom that says, well, I fold in the gift of prophecy once. That makes me a prophet. No, it doesn't. It just makes you having, at one point in your life, been obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen? So what's the point of what we're saying here, Pastor? Everything that God is going to do on this earth is going to come through gifts. The free gift of salvation, the free gift of righteousness, the free gift of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the free gift of speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. There's nine of them. Word, spoken gifts, power gifts, and revelatory gifts. There's nine of those gifts, but they're not yours to use when you want. They're his gifts. He chooses to flow through you when he wants to flow through you. Amen. Because you're a willing and open vessel. Amen? Now, why are we studying all this? Because if we're not careful, you and I will think that all of this is going to happen because we're something special in the kingdom. You're something special because you're a child of God. But it's never a place of arrogance. It's never a place of, I'm going to say this so you will see me say it. It's never a place of lifting yourself up, because what do you have that wasn't given to you?
Not a thing.
Not a thing. You didn't get salvation by yourself. You didn't get the Holy Spirit by yourself. You didn't get an understanding of the word by yourself. It's all about revelation. So who you are has been made by God. Will you just surrender to him? Some people are staring right now. I don't know about that surrender. Is that safe? Well, sir. See, let's go now to Ephesians 4. Let's look at the next set of gifts. I'm on a very focused mission tonight. Very focused. I'm going to do all these again. Every night we've talked about this has been different. Every night we've talked about this has been good. And thanks for being here and being a part of it with us.
Yeah.
Did you get that one? Boy, that's just hanging around a long time. But it'll be all right. I like people that hang around a long time. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Watch this. No, let's not do 7. Let's do 8 and 11. Ephesians 4, 8 and 11. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. I want you to get the picture. This is Jesus. He's going up in the clouds, right in front of his disciples' eyes. They're all like jaw drop, staring at heaven, saying, there goes our Jesus. I think this time he's gone, guys. He disappeared in the grave. We didn't see him for a while. Now he come back, walked in a lot of rooms with us, but I think this one's for real. I think he's gone. But look at what verse 8 says. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. That means captivity no longer has any power over you. And he gave gifts to men. Verse 11. And he himself gave. Here's the gifts that he gave to us when he went to heaven. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Say this with me. This is a gift from Jesus.
This is a gift from Jesus. Amen.
This is a gift from Jesus.
Hallelujah.
To me. Now watch
so there
this.
Are from Jesus, and there are gifts from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And gifts of the Father. We're going to read them in just a minute. Now watch this. Every fivefold ministry is a gift from Jesus to this earth to lead the body. Many people don't even realize that we're a gift. I am a gift to you. Do you receive me as a gift, or is that just Pastor running his mouth?
I receive you as a gift.
And we are a gift to him.
Now watch this.
Wrapped in goofy wrapping paper.
Now, not only am I a gift here to you as a fivefold ministry leader, but I have a gift in Dr. Barclay, who is the gift of Jesus to me. Now watch this. And Dr. Barclay had a gift that was, you take it. Thank you. And I got to meet a couple of Dr. Barclay's fathers, pastors. And not only were they a gift to pastor, but they were also a gift to me. Now, I want you to see this for the power that's in it. If you don't receive, he's a gift wrapped in Harley Davidson paper. Amen. I like that. And a Harley Davidson bracelet. Thank you, Brother Leywood. But here's what changes everything in our life. When you and I look at our pastor, the fivefold ministry leaders, as a gift from God to you to help your life, all of a sudden, the relationship changes because you say, wait, this person is a gift to me. I receive that gift they're bringing to my life right now. you might have a pastor that's not me. That's perfectly fine. That's good. You might find me as a teacher in your life. And I'm just breaking the bread of life, and you're like, wow, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. But you don't necessarily come to me as a pastoral gift, although every time I'm preaching, you might be pastored in a way, but when it comes to the pastor of your life, you know it's the pastor at your church. But see, only the Holy Spirit of God, through Jesus and the Father, can make that revelation known to you. It's like my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barclay. He's been my pastor since 1993. I got the book. He wrote a book, Seven Ways to Properly Relate to Your Pastor. Got that book, and I'm like, all right, you're my pastor. Man, there's been all kinds of trials and tests between that 93 and today to say, leave me a pastor. Get out of here. I had people come to me and say, he's so far out of, why are you following? I had people say that to me. But guess what? I can't even find those people today. I'm still with my pastor, and there's nobody else on the face of this earth who knows as much about my spiritual life as what Dr. Mark T. Barclay knows about me. Why? Because I received him as a gift. Amen, Roger. All right? I received him as a gift, and now I'm just going to make it. What have I ever had? What do I have in my life that wasn't given to me by God anyways? Here's what happens. The more of this revelation of the free gift that you get in your life, the more appreciative you become, the more reality strikes in your life and mind that says, wait a minute, there ain't a bit of this that's because of how good I am or anything about how anything I am. This is about, look what God's doing in me. I better appropriate every gift he's given to me. And I better find a way to become as valuable to the body of Christ in my life as what these people are who have changed my life are to me. Say it with me. I receive all of the gifts that God has for me. I might be an apostle. The word apostle is a sent one. That means somebody who was sent by God to make a difference in your life. I'm sent. I have been sent to Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Blog Talk Radio, and any other platform we can get to. Sent by God to be there so that we can be a blessing. Now, watch this. Let's go to the gifts of the Father, Romans chapter 12. Where the Holy Spirit is taking you and I right now is to the revelation of, I'm not born again because of me. I'm not filled with the Spirit because of anything I've done. I don't live above sin because of anything that I can do. I don't have all of the things inside of me to reach other people because of me. Everything I have in my life is because I received a gift from Almighty God. What does that automatically make you and I? That automatically makes us very, very, very deeply appreciative of what God has done in our life. And it causes us to always stay humble and realize, what do I have that wasn't given to me by God? And the reality is, you don't have anything. The other night, I said, what was your favorite Bible battle story? I want you to think about every famous battle story in the Bible. Which man could take credit for it? Any one of them. I know we like David and Goliath, but guys, what did David do? He faced the giant. He ran at him. He put a stone in his sling and he shot it, but God's the one that gave that victory that day. And David said, God's going to give me victory over you so that the whole world will know. what, the children of Israel killed all them people in the ocean? They got out of the center of the Red Sea and was oobity-doobity-oobity-doobity water go back? No. With a blast of his nostril, the sea went back in on them. There ain't a battle won in the Bible that anybody can claim. They all were in the battle and did what they were supposed to do in that battle. But the bottom line, guys, if it isn't for God in our life, what do we have? See, it's not of works lest a man would boast, because man's going to boast when he thinks it's of his doing. And the sooner we just humble ourselves and say, are you kidding me? What's going on here? It's because of what Almighty God's doing, because I ain't this good, neither are you. Anybody want to type it in? I ain't this good, neither are you. Even the prophets, Elijah and Elisha, they were great, mighty men of God. But I'm going to tell you something. It was all based on their obedience and what God had told them to do and what God was going to do through them. It's like Elijah is going to be able to kill 450 prophets of Baal. 450 prophets of Baal and one prophet of God working in their own strength, the 450 prophets of Baal would overpower him. Are you kidding? How can one guy fight off 450? He can't. But in God, well, it was actually 800 prophets, because there was 400 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of somebody else. And Elijah killed them all in one day. Because God said so. Why are you going to be blessed in everything you do? Because God said, all these blessings are going to come up on you and overtake you as you diligently obey the word of Almighty God. I'm in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Mary, you got your hand up or are you just waving high?
No, I got my hand up. It's just with you talking about all this stuff and you talking about stories of the Bible, it brought back something to my remembrance when I was younger. Somebody said something to me about, and it's in the Bible too, much that is given, much is required.
Yep.
And it was like, I've always had a lot of stress in my life, always. And it was, I remember it was a point where, man, I know this, and I know this is, you know, you have to obey God, you have to do this, and it's the Bible rules, and the do's and don'ts, and Ten Commandments, and it was like, I don't want to learn anymore because I got enough on my plate. I don't want to be responsible for knowing anymore. I remember that.
Yeah.
Kind of sad, but I do remember that. Like, I didn't want to learn anymore.
Yeah.
There's enough on my plate.
Well, and I'll deal with that right now in this, because that fits really good here. I appreciate you saying it. Because there was a lot of people in that period of time in the church who were dealing with that exact same set of languages. I remember it when it went through the church in my life. I was about 12, 13 years old when I remember going through the church and people saying, well, I'm not going to study the Bible because the more I study, the more I'm going to be held accountable for. Well, but I got a word for you. You got a Bible in your house. You're going to be held accountable from everything in that book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. So you got to go ahead and get yourself in a revelation. But I want you to see this fact. That verse is Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Everybody turn there and let's just talk about it. He who did not know, Luke 12, 48. I'm slowing down just a little. Luke 12, 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone To whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask even more. But here's the revelation of this set of verses, because when you study this in the reference where it's at, this is Jesus' words, and Jesus is saying, you must keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Well, there ain't a one of us that can say, Jesus, I don't want to know what you want me to know, because now you just resisted the Holy Spirit of God. And when you go back to Isaiah, Isaiah said, who are these that are not going to receive the word of God? They are those who refuse the word to enter in. Jesus said to him who has revelation, more will be given, and then he'll have an abundance of revelation. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. But you don't get to know his voice unless you're diligently every day seeking out what the voice sounds like from God's holy word. So why? It was a demonic spirit that taught that in the church. Same spirit that taught the Catholics, don't read your Bible because it'll make you go crazy. Well, it's not gonna be of any benefit to anybody to not read your Bible. Why? Because you won't know that God Almighty has given you all of these free gifts to be a blessing to your life. And that was the demonic spirit that sent that doctrine through the church. And when I say that to some people right now, they get bent out of shape at me when I say it, because I can tell there's some people here tonight that's like, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. But why would the Holy Spirit lead the church into don't read the Bible because then you'll be accountable for it? That's not the Holy Spirit. That's a deceiving spirit. Wait a minute. I want you to get a revelation of it. And the pastors who preached it were so lacking in understanding and the revelation of the Spirit of God that they were not wise enough to see they were speaking by an evil spirit. Wait, now I want you to hear this. And yet many of them said, well, you don't know about the Holy Spirit now. Don't be following that. You never know what that's going to lead you to. And here they are telling people not to follow the things of the Spirit when that's what everybody needed to hear was the word of the Spirit of God anyways.
Amen.
Now, Romans chapter 12. I got to stay on point. That was a good statement though, Mary. Because here's the revelation of it. You and I are responsible under God for every day of our Christian life. You might say, well, Pastor, I just don't have any time to study the word. This is what the Bible says, that if you will study the word, God will redeem the time into other areas of your life.
Amen.
And the more time you say, no, I'm going to put this time in the word, then the more time begins to show up in your life. Yeah. And the more you say, man, I just don't ever get enough time, the less time you have.
Yep.
Why? Because the power of life and the power of death is right here in this tongue from your own life, what you want. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. I better read 3 and 4. I say through the grace given to me, to everyone is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Think of himself soberly. Why? As God has given, dealt to each one a measure of faith. Did you have it yourself or was it given to you? It was given to you. The author and finisher of faith came in you. And when he did, he brought faith with him.
Oh. How can he give it to you? Example, Job went through trials. Does faith come by overcoming these trials, or is it simply a gift from God that gives you that ability to overcome.
No. No, Job was not given a trial by God. Job was attacked by the devil. It says it very specifically. And Job had to use God's word and God's power to overcome in that test and trial, which came from the devil, not God. That was a messenger from Satan. And
I understand that. It was the trial that Job was going through, though. And with him overcoming that, is that...
We're talking about the gifts of God, and I want us to keep going because we got to see this about the gifts of God. You got to be able to see this. Here's the thing. God is doing a...
I'm sorry, I got it back. The trials that Job went through, even though the trial came from the devil doing all that to him, they were a trial, and Job overcame those. Was that a gift from God that he was able to overcome those?
Most certainly. Most certainly. And when as we read through that, we saw Job continually standing up for God, even though in the middle of it, he was just like in a major battle saying, wow, where's God? God, show up. What have I done wrong? But it is a gift of God, which is what it's been since the foundation of this earth, is that people who just go ahead and trust in God and receive that gift, that they will overcome. You got to do the work. God, you got to show up for the battle. God's going to give you the power to overcome it. God helped Job in the end. When God showed up in front of Job, Job's like, okay, I've been off. Whoops, excuse me. Hello, I worship you. You alone are holy. Thank you, God, for the empowerment in my life to stand up and do good. And God said to Job, well, pray for those guys up there that are all messed up, and I will bring to you everything that I've promised. And he restored double to him. Romans chapter 12. Let's keep moving on. Verse number 3. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Watch this. You got to get this revelation. That word dealt is also the word gave. Now you and I might say, yeah, but Pastor, faith, I've been working on my faith. I've been working. I'm believing. Wait a minute. Faith comes by hearing, not by I'm believing. Faith is dependent on the level of word you have inside of your life. Little word, little faith. Abundant word, abundant faith. It's the lesson we taught today at noon. How to take the word of God, build a confession, no matter what it is you need in your life. Build that word confession and see God do a mighty working miracle all through your life with that word. Now follow me for just a minute. God has given to every one of us a measure of faith. What is that? The measure to believe. Before you and I knew God, we were without hope and without faith in this world. We didn't have anything in God. And so God gives us enough faith to find him. That measure of faith is the measure you take, you build, you develop, you grow, so that you can be filled with a bunch of faith in your life. Now watch. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace, verse 3, that was given to us at our birth. Every one of us have a different gift. It's according to the grace, the empowerment of God given to us at our birth. And now we're going to use those gifts. Watch this. Verse 6. That is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, then we'll prophesy in proportion to our faith. But I got a word for you. If you don't build the level of word in your life, then the level of faith is not going to be there. And you won't be able to use your gift very effectively. Let's go to the next one. If it's to ministry as a ministering person, being a blessing to somebody, you're going to do that in proportion to your faith. But if you haven't put the word of God down in your heart, then you're not going to be able to minister by faith, because you won't be ministering by faith. You'll be ministering by troubles, trials, tests, tribulations, or whatever else the doctrines of man that you have been trained in. He who teaches in teaching. But if you don't have the word of God built down in your life, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, there won't be anything in there you can teach from. Because the only thing you can teach from is what you actually have down inside of you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. That's why from the very beginning we've used the verses, and we put them verse lists in the family threads and inside each one of the programs every single time we're here. Why? Because that way you can go back and grab those verses and say, wait, that verse and that verse just spoke to me tonight. I'm going to build a confession on this so that I can establish God's word line upon line, precept upon precept in my life. Watch. Verse 8. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives, do it with liberality. Wait, that's not just money, but that is very much money. Because you can give your time, you can give your talent, but what God said is, if you're one of those givers, give it liberally. Give it abundantly. Be a willing, open, wide open giver with no hesitation. I'll just give it this, sir. Thank you. Here it is. Keep going. He who leads. Lead with diligence according to the proportion of your faith. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, I want you to go to this verse with me. Now, I got to get back over here to where all my notes are. I got them all covered up by apps and everything. Jesus, high priest of our profession. We're going to go down here to, hold on, I got to find it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Now watch this. Whoops, 3:1. There we go. Hebrews 3:1. You see, all of this is a gift. Well, all of a sudden, we're starting to come to the revelation like, wait a minute, nothing I have is of my own deal. But God very specifically expects me to renew my mind, grow and develop in him, go in and take land he gives me to take, and get rid of every bit of weakness in my life, no matter where it's at. God expects that from you and me. Yeah, but Pastor, if it's a gift, then I can't get myself free from anything. Oh, yeah, you can, because you can renew your mind. The more you renew your mind, the more free you get of anything that would try to bind you. Now watch this. Hebrews 3:1. And let's go down to11. Now, everybody, oh my goodness, look what time it is. All right. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, you might say, but I'm not called, Pastor. I just read to you Romans chapter 12, verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, where every single one of you are in there somewhere. Why? Because those are the gifts of God that he put on the inside of you the moment he put you in a conceived womb. God put those gifts in you. Now, God wants you to use that gift for this world, but you've got to grow it. You've got to develop it. You've got to learn the word of God about it. You've got to mature and develop like he wants you to mature and develop. Watch this. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Say this with me. If I don't give my high priest an assignment, he's going to sit in the unemployment line. I'm just letting it soak in. Well, Pastor, Jesus isn't unemployed, but he can be in your life. He is the high priest of your confession. And if you're not making any confessions, what's he high priesting in your life? Well, I just thought that meant when I repented of my sins, he was high priest of that. Now I'm just out doing my own thing. No, from the moment you are born again, you have a responsibility to get yourself in God so God can use you to reach this world. Say it with me. Jesus is the high priest of what I'm saying every day. But if you ain't saying nothing every day according to this word, then what is Jesus high priest in? He's standing around saying, would you just say something? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read 4 through 11. Watch this. Have you noticed we ignore the time when the Lord has you teach us? Oh, thank you, Mary. Yeah, I do too. Mostly, sometimes. And then other times not. But I'm going to get this message in tonight because I know I got to get it in. Watch this. Watch what the Apostle Paul says about his life. Verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. We've been just studying that, how a male child born has got to be, you know, circumcised. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had a doctorate degree in Hebrewism. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. He admitted, I'm a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness, which was in the law, blameless. That means he kept all 613 of them. 7, but what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. What did Paul say? All of that stuff that I had accomplished was nothing compared to be able to receive Christ. Wait, you know what it was? Paul was walking down the road to Damascus. Saul of Tarsus was walking down the road to Damascus. And Jesus showed up. And I like to picture it like Jesus was standing in the road, and Saul of Tarsus couldn't see him. And when Saul got close, Jesus said, "Hey, Saul!" Down he went in the dirt. And all the men went down. And they could all hear a voice. But only Saul of Tarsus knew what it said. And Saul heard, "Hey, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus didn't say the believers in the local building. Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" The church is Jesus. And Jesus showed up that day to wipe out the great persecutor of the church, Jesus, the body of Christ, that day. And Saul of Tarsus was wise enough to say, "Lord, what would you have me do?" And he said, "Stop persecuting me or I'll kick you in the slats right now." All right, that would be a Sam Cottle statement. Look at verse 9, Philippians 3:9. "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, the things I can do in my own strength, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, a gift by faith." Say this with me. I'm born again,
by grace
through faith. Now look what he said in verse 10. "That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death." Verse 11. "If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul's literally saying, "I was purchased by the blood of Jesus, and I want to become why he purchased me." Say it with me. I've been purchased
by the blood of Jesus
and given free gifts, and I must figure out why. We're back in Hebrews chapter 3. I want you to see this. Verse 1. "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession." Not repentance of sin, our confession of who we are, where we're going, and what we're doing. What do you need God to do in your life for you every day? Now, I know. I can tell somebody's like, "Pastor, I am totally missing what you're saying right now." Well, this is what I'm saying. Everything you have is a gift from God. Everything. Everything you've become is a gift from God. Everything. What you become from this day forward is all based in the word of God you grab off this page and begin to put down inside of your life by speaking the word of God. You won't be powerful in miracles until you put word of God about miracles down in your heart, and your heart is filled with the word about miracles. You won't be filled with abundance of finances until you fill your life full and running over with the word of God on abundance of finances. If you have your heart filled with lack and barely make it verses from the Bible, because you can take some out of context and put them in there. You will never have the abundance of God. If you take the devil's beating me down and I just can't stand up verses, which you can take some out of context and use them that way, and that's what's in your heart, you will never be a triumphant Christian. Why? Because Jesus can't be the high priest of a confession that doesn't match the word. Did I say that effectively? The only thing Jesus can be the high priest of is that which matches this word, and that will be said in faith. Ready? Say it with me. By his stripes, I'm healed.
By his stripes, I am healed.
I ready to say it.
I wish above all things
that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Romans 8:11,
the same spirit
that raised Jesus from the dead,
lives inside my mortal body,
giving me life every day. The same spirit. See, why does healing work in my life? Because I got my life chocked full of verses on the healing power of God. How did you get them there, Pastor? I wrote confession sheets out like this. Put them up on the wall. I write them and I put them in my Bible. I write them and I put them in my phone. And then I say them and say them and say them and say them and say them over and over and over and over again until it gets down inside of my life where it automatically bubbles up out of me the truth of God's holy word. When the program was finished this morning, we came live into Zoom. And we talked for another hour, Mary and Sunday and Leanne and I, and Brother Dan was there for a while. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. Why? I've got those verses down in here in abundance. So they automatically bubble up out of us. But if you don't take the word, put it down in your life in a confession form, Jesus can't be the high priest of it. If you don't have any word hidden in your heart, Jesus can't be the high priest of that word. The word down in you needs to be above all the other things. Amen, Brother Dan. Amen. Now, what I've been establishing and saying from every corner I can say it is this. Everything we have from God is a gift. But you and I have to take that gift now and renew our mind to this word. You've been given the gift of revelation. You've been given the gift of faith. You've been given the gift of hope, confident expectation. You've been given the gift of the revelator. The Holy Spirit is on the inside. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Jesus is more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you are to ask. The Father is seeking those who will have that daily one-on-one relationship with him. But see, if you don't take those words, write them on a piece of paper, type them on your computer, put them in your phone, the only faith you're going to have is what you hear me speaking. But what God wants is for you to hear me speaking, write the references down, now go into your daily life and begin to pound those babies down in there until the only thing that's left in your heart is the word of God. Sister Leanne can bring a jar of sand and fill my bottle up with sand. Next thing you know, all the water will just bubble right on out. Or it'll soak into the sand if the sand's not moist enough. Then she can come, once she's got this full of sand, she can pour water in it. But there's coming a point where saturation's going to happen, and she's going to make a mess on the desk. Now, she won't because she don't like messes. and neither do I. What's the point? You got to view your life as this bottle empty. And the more word you put in, 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 pretty soon the bottle is full. Your life is full and the word begins to bubble out of the top. That's when you know you finally have started to get enough word to begin the Christian life. If it's not bubbling out the top of you, you don't have enough word in you yet. Because Jesus can only be the high priest of the confession of the word of God that's already on inside of you. And some people, the only word they have on the inside is the word of salvation. Why? Because they were told the only thing that's important is just get born again. No. To be born again is the first step of the rest of your Christian life. Now, you and I must bring every thought into subjection to the knowledge of God. That's Hebrews. Did you get it? That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Watch this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. It's your only reasonable service. What are you doing? You're offering yourself to God, and God is saying, you're a giver. I'm going to bless you with giving. I want you to give everywhere you go. I want you to give your time, your talent, your treasure. Well, Romans chapter 12, verse number 8 says, he who gives, let him give with liberality in proportion to your faith. But if you don't have the word inside of your heart, then you're not going to be able to give effectively because you won't have his word living in abundance, Jesus high priesting it, saying, go do it. Then there's only one way to get that word in. Speak it, 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 speak it. Jesus is the high priest of your profession, of your faith, and the only way you're going to get it down in your heart is you got to finally say, I've got a responsibility here and a stewardship. I have got to get this word hidden in my heart so that I won't sin against him. Woo! So that my heart will be filled and Jesus can be the high priest of it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 28. I'm just telling you now. I'm just telling you, 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 telling you. Sounds like a good song. I'm just telling you the truth. Look at this. Isaiah 28, 9 through 12. Nope, 9 through 13. Whom will he teach knowledge? Who will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be on precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Verse 11, he goes from the indoctrination of the word into tongues. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest which the weary longs for. No, which you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing for what it says. Yet they would not hear it. What are you doing? You're building line upon line, precept upon precept. You're taking all these verses tonight. You're getting them down inside your life. You might say, man, I don't know why I'm saying these verses, but Pastor sure says I ought to be saying them, so I'm going to keep saying them. Dr. Barclay would say, you got to get these verses in you, man. I'd write them down. And then I'd go home. I'd write them on a piece of paper. I'd put them in those little library cards. I'd stick them in my pocket. I'd carry them with me. I'd read them all day long. I'd read them while I was driving truck. I'd record them and listen to them while I'm driving truck. Why? If that's what he said he did to get here, then I'm going to do the same thing he did. And Jesus became the high priest of my profession just like it was with his. But see, this is line upon line. If you don't ever build line upon line, then you don't get the benefit of line upon line. Look at verse 13. But the word of the Lord was to these people, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Look what it says. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Why? Because they didn't receive it as a truth that they actually had to have in their life. Why did Jesus say the Father is more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you even are to ask? Except for the fact that he wants you filled with the Holy Spirit more than you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you ask once and say, there I ask. No, ask every day. Pray the prayer of salvation every time we pray it on any of these programs. And when I get to that part that says, fill me with your Holy Spirit, say it with the depths of your heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Why? Because you want all of the Holy Spirit you can get until out of your belly. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water that ain't nobody on the face of the earth has any ability to stop flowing out of your life. This is good stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Say it with me. Jesus is the high priest of my profession. Unless, of course, I'm not making one. Now, you might say, Pastor, you're kind of getting in my stuff today because I'm not really making any kind of confession. Well, the cool thing about me as your pastor is this. If you show up at this program, I'm giving you some verses that you can confess with us every time. Have you noticed we're still confessing Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16? You know why? Because we ain't got it yet. There's only one way to get it, and that's keep speaking it. Why do you think I keep Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3 in there? Because we got to get the unity of the Spirit and get that commanded blessing of the Lord going in this body of believers. That's why I keep saying it. I could change and put something different in every time, but what good does it do this to go to something different when we don't have this in its entirety yet? This is the foundation. You and I got to understand that our place in the body was given to us as a gift, and God is expecting us to change us, grow us, develop us, so we can flow in that gift he made us to the end and to the ends of this earth, wherever he sends us.
Amen.
Now, nobody say anything. I don't want anybody offended. Hebrews, I got to give you one more set of verses. Where did my verses go? Anybody know what verse I was looking at?
Something in Hebrews.
Hebrews? What was the chapter? Mm-hmm. Chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. through 6, verse 3. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, through 6, 3. Did I make sense of that? Everybody give Sister Leanne 3 big cheers. Hip, hip. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Thank you, Mary. Bless your heart.
Love you guys. You guys are awesome. Do you know when you guys do that, you just about make us cry? Mm-hmm. Sister Leanne's sitting over there crying right now. She gets a big old slobber bucket now. You know. Look at this. My Bible has this labeled as spiritual maturity. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Have you ever felt that way? Mm-hmm. And you have come to need milk and not meat, solid food. Verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk, look at this, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For you are a babe. And that's not a scantily clad man or woman laying on the beach. 14. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Don't stop, because Paul didn't stop. Man just put a separation there. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of God, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. The faith toward God is a foundation principle that we're supposed to settle and then move on. Of the doctrine of baptism, the doctrine of laying on of hands, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. Well, God's permitting. And I'm telling you right now, if you've ever been in your life at a point where you said, wait a minute, I ought to be a teacher right now, and I'm having to have somebody teach me, then the number one thing you got to do is look at it and say, Jesus, show me what verses by the Holy Spirit I got to start putting down inside of my life so I can be a teacher and not needing somebody to teach me again. Now, I don't want anybody condemned about this, because the majority of people in the United States of America has never been taught the deep things of God. Many people in the body of Christ have only been taught the surface level, get born again, and that's all that's important. Oh, wait, yeah, come to church and pay your tithe. It's a bill you have to pay. But that's about all they know. Well, love your brother, and most times don't be bitter, but every now and then don't hurt just as long as it's not real bad. See, we got to go so much deeper in this. This verse says we've got to become skilled in the word of righteousness. Do you see why I'm asking everybody to help me put timestamps in those videos on righteousness? Because until you're skilled in the word of righteousness, you're not considered an adult in the kingdom. I don't have a symbol. I need a symbol right here. Somebody send me just a short one, about this big. Wait, everybody hold still. Look, I got this real short, nice little light right here. See this little light? It's a nice little short light. And you know, if you sent me a symbol about the same height, then I would have. No, here's the thing. If we don't ever take the word of God and begin to hide it in our hearts systematically, then we won't ever get any solidity, because Jesus won't be able to be the high priest of anything in our life except confusion, and he won't be the high priest of confusion. He'll only be the high priest of his word that you have hid in your heart so you do not sin against him. All right. Sister Felicia put it in there that there was some Missouri people here, so I got to show you one more verse. It was way back in the beginning. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
The Missourites are here. I can tell. I got to show one more verse. You ready? Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11. With all my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, don't let me wander from your commandments. Wait a minute. Nobody can make you wander if your heart is filled with the word. If your heart is not filled with the word that is alive and well by revelation, you're going to come up short. Look at verse 11. Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. No. No. No, I know people that have memorized major portions of the Bible. And I know one man that can preach a 45-minute sermon and never say one word of his own words. It was all the word of God, quoting verses. And he preached for 45 minutes that way, with no Bible, with no script, no scroll. And it was a powerful word. And he committed suicide.
Oh, no.
Because, guys, just memorizing a bunch of verses that you don't get revelation on is just memorizing. The whole point of what we're doing is that you get the revelation of why God said these words. Why did God talk about being skilled in the word of righteousness? I don't have any idea, Pastor. Well, I got 9 videos in one playlist that you might oughtn't study. See, what's the purpose of this? That word will be hid in your heart and Jesus can become the high priest of it. And now that word that's in here, you can take out there and win somebody to Jesus. Because if all you're going to give them is what somebody else told you, you're just eating what somebody else already chewed, and now you're chewing it again and giving it to somebody else. I don't know if you ever had chewed up meat that somebody else already chewed up for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, see, I've never had that. I've never done that. I've asked Sister Lynn to chew some meat up for me every now and then, but she won't even do that. Can you believe that?
No.
Smart lady.
Now, what? Let's get to this point, because I want to circle the wagons now for this point for tonight and for probably the last week. During the Holy Spirit conference, Dr. Barclay was teaching in the daytime sessions about the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're all different, but they're all absolutely necessary for every one of us to understand. Well, you're not going to understand them until you actually get the word of God out about them and begin to put that word down in your heart and then begin to say, Jesus, high priest these words for me and give me the revelation of what this is all about. Because this ain't about how many verses you can memorize. What's that? The greatest way to memorize verses is to speak them out loud for revelation. And the more you speak them out loud for revelation, the more they get down in your heart, and the more you have the ability to recite them to somebody else. But if you just sit down and say, with my whole heart I've sought you, or let me not wander from your commandments. My whole heart I've sought you, do not let me wander from your commandments. With my whole heart I've sought you, do not let me wander from your commandments. With my whole heart I've... Oh, Jesus, help me, I'm wandering from your commandments. What are you trying to do? You're trying to memorize something. God don't care about memory. God wants you to get the revelation of what that verse means.
Amen.
As soon as you get the revelation, you ain't going to have to worry about memory. With my whole heart, I have sought you, Lord, and I will never wander from your commandments. And look, I'm not even reading it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, and I will not sin against you. Look at verse 165, Psalm 119, 165. This is another powerful verse on the word of God. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them or cause them to stumble. I didn't put a verse in my mouth, in my heart. I got a revelation of who God was. And I put that revelation in my heart. Now, I'm going to say one more thing and I'm going to be done. To all of you who are here regularly, you might say, Pastor, do you know how many verses you've told us we need to put in our heart? Yep. I do. This is my recommendation, that each day of the week, you get a set of verses about a certain subject, and on that day each week, you get those verses back out and speak those verses for that day all day long. Why? Because the more you speak them, the more the revelation will come to you. That's going to give you seven different sets of verses for a week. And you'll begin to find that on Monday, you spoke words about your family. On Tuesday, you spoke words about your money. On Wednesday, you spoke words about your health. On Thursday, you spoke words about your gift, your personal gift that God put in you. On Friday, you spoke words about the whole world everywhere. Saturday, you spoke words of glory and honor and praise. Sunday, you spoke words about winning the world with your gifts, talents, and abilities. Now watch what happens. Then you're going to start the whole week over again, and you're going to say those verses. And all of a sudden, the revelation of all of those verses are going to work together and create an amazing part of your life. Now watch. If God told you today to go be a missionary, your first assignment is not to get a visa and move. Because if you don't have some word in your heart when you show up there, there's different demons in different nations. Brother Terry Mai is one of the greatest missionaries in the whole world. God told him he's going to be a missionary, and off he went. He was 17 years old and said, that's it, I'm gone. Off he went, got malaria, got typhoid fever, and almost straight up, plumb flat, died, and everybody told him it was a good thing he died for Jesus. Brother Terry said, that was the dumbest thing in the world. Why would God kill his men that he just sent around the world to be a missionary? You see, all of a sudden, Brother Terry said, wait a minute. I need a revelation of your word in my heart. And he began to take God's word and put it in his heart. And Jesus became the high priest of that profession to the point that Brother Terry's statement now today is, when somebody says, well, they told me I got to die of this, and then Brother Terry will say, well, who told you that? Well, the doctor. Oh, I thought it was somebody important. The words of a doctor can be changed every day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
But it can't be changed unless hidden in your heart is the word of God on healing and strength and victory. Now, once you have those verses, it's not about what the doctor says. It's about what the word of God says. And you can look at any doctor and say, well, all right, God bless you, but I know I'm by his stripes, I'm healed. I got a new, you've heard Sister Francetta saying it. My DNA has been changed. And I have the DNA of heaven. What did she do? She got the word, hid it in her heart. She was able to let go of all those meds. Sure. This morning she was attacked. Everybody say attack. She was attacked in her body by that, but she's up going right now. You know she is. Why? The word is deep in her heart, producing great, great strength and great power and great dominion in Jesus' mighty name. Mary, I saw your hand up, but you put it down. Were you just waving at me?
No. You know, I am seeking my prayer language. And you talk about putting these verses down in your heart so they can be brought up when you need them.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just waving.
I thought maybe you were practicing to be a metronome for your bongo drums there. No.
Go ahead.
I am speaking my prayer language.
Right.
Some of the verses that got me from point A to point B in my 76 years, one of them was, don't want, God knows your needs and he'll supply. Could that be a barrier between me accepting the gift?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, well, that's a good question. Let me see. Everybody give me an answer. Do I answer her now or do I answer after communion? Let's answer it now. I didn't wait for too many people to answer, but I'm just going to give you the answer. So that's a very powerful statement, because if what's in your heart is don't push God, just wait on him to move. You don't have to get all bent out of shape. It's not about all your effort. Just sit back and wait for God to move. You're going to be sitting your whole life, because God doesn't want anybody sitting. God wants you moving. Said in Philippians chapter 3, I press toward the mark. Paul said, I press toward the mark. He knew it was the gift of God. He knew salvation was a gift. He knew the Holy Ghost was a gift. He knew what God called him to do was a gift. But he said, I'm pressing toward that mark because I'm not going to be sitting still. Now, why are you saying it that way, Pastor? There's a whole bunch of people in the kingdom that has been said, if God wants you to have it, he'll bring it to you. And if he doesn't bring it to you, it wasn't for you.
Is that not a verse in the Bible, though,
no,
that tells you not to want? God knows your needs and he'll supply. That's not in the Bible.
Well, Mary, you just said five verses all in one, mixed them all together, and it doesn't make a lick of sense. So let me take them apart. You ready? And well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about whoever gave it to you. Watch this. My God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Yes, very good verse. Right? He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's a very good verse. You got to go a long ways to find a verse that says, sit and wait for God to do something. Be still and know that I am God means shut off all the noise, but it doesn't mean to sit in the room and just be silent. Because you're going to enter into his gates with silence and into his courts with silence. No. You enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That means your mouth is working. You enter into his courts with praise. That means probably your mouth and your hands are working. But it still says, be still and know that I'm God. But you don't, you're not going to drive any devil out sitting there not saying nothing.
So you're saying the verse, quote, unquote, don't want God knows your needs and he'll supply is not in the Bible?
Yeah, that's not a verse in the Bible.
Really?
No, that's not a verse in the Bible anywhere.
Well, I based my life on that. The whole time I was growing up. Wow.
Wait. Okay. Let me tell you another one, Mary. Because listen, you guys are seeing me on the bubbling over side of the word in my life. All right. Because when I moved out here into the oil field, I'm like, that's it. I'm working 12, 14 hour days. And I got a YouTube signal out here. I'm going to listen to Dr. Summerall and Brother Hagin and Old Roberts every day, all day long, until my life is so filled with the word of God that I'm going to be able to bubble out anything that God wants me to bubble out. And I listen to them guys 14 hours a day. Now, Sister Land gave me a verse. I'll give it to you in just a second. Watch this. There was a period in my life I had to go through my verses of scripture that I thought I knew and say, whoops, that ain't even a verse in the Bible. Whoops, that ain't a verse in the Bible. Whoa, get out of my life. That's not a verse in the Bible. That's a doctrine of a man. Ready for one? Cleanliness is next to godliness. That is not a verse in the Bible.
Now, God was very clean.
People throwing stuff at me and everything. That's not a verse in the Bible. But it was preached in the pulpit all through the 60s and 70s like it was a verse in the Bible. It ain't in the Bible. God loves order. God said, be clean. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, purify your heart, you're double-minded. But that ain't a verse in the Bible.
What about trust God for all things? Is that in the Bible?
Yeah, we could find a verse that says that. Somebody help me find a verse that says that. Trust God for all things. Let your moderation be made known unto trust. Trust. Everybody work on that. Let's see if we can find it. But the most important part about what we're saying right now is let God challenge what you think is a verse of scripture and actually go to the Bible, learn the chapter and verse and the revelation of that verse. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I think that's partially one of the verses that Mary's trying to quote there, which is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But that ain't a sit around and do nothing wait verse. That is, seek first the kingdom of God and seek his righteousness. Well, you can't do that without studying the Bible to find out what the kingdom is and studying the Bible to find out what his righteousness is. So anybody that's seeking first the kingdom is not sitting still doing nothing. They're in a diligent search. And all these things will be added to you. Well, what were those things? The Gentiles sought after clothes, what they should eat, what they should wear, and the different things of their daily life. Did you find one?
Yes, Proverbs.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But wait a minute. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's just telling you, get your mind out and get the word in. in all your ways acknowledge him. Well, you can't do that without putting the word of God down in your heart so that the word is what you're acknowledging God in. And he will bring it to pass. Good verses. I like that. But what we've done is mixed them with a whole bunch of stuff that don't have any founding in the word of God. What good does it do you?
Pinching my feet.
Say again.
Sorry.
Say again.
I said this knowledge is pinching my feet. I'm quite there yet.
But listen, the only place you ever have to be, and Mary's asking a lot of good questions, and I appreciate it, Mary. Watch this. The only place any of us ever have to be is actively putting God's word revelation in our heart. There's no super level of, woo, I'm something because I now got 87 verses down in my heart. Don't worry about all that. Don't be condemned that you may not know as much as I do. It doesn't matter. The only thing that you and I got to do every day when we wake up is put that word down in our heart. And you say the verses you need in your life right now today, and you keep saying them and saying them and saying them until the revelation of that verse comes alive inside of you, and you will be like, oh, Jesus. And then it says that he that has revelation, more will be given, and you'll grab that next verse and say, all right, what's this one mean, Jesus? And you'll put it in and put it in and put it in and the revelation will explode, and you'll be like, I'm grabbing that verse, and I'm putting it in, putting it in, putting it in, putting it in. And your heart will be filled with revelation night and day from now until Jesus comes, because you are hiding his word in your heart, not memorizing, but you are grabbing the revelation of what God is trying to say. Father, I speak over our sister Francetta tonight. And over life and over her finances and over every part of her life that you're moving in her into another great place. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you the praise for every testimony we've heard from our sister's life. Thank you for establishing her in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake and for your blessing on her and every person that's here. Sister Leanne, Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, James and Felicia and the whole family. Brother Roger and all of his grandkids, Don and Mary, Pastor Rick, Phyllis K., Raymond, Rebecca Smith, and Christine Barkley. We bless them. I'm just looking at my list here. I bless every person that's been with us tonight. Sunday Geyser and Chris Geyser, Brother Ken Brumbaugh, we bless you tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it for whoever's been listening tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, thy word, the revelation of your word, and you are the high priest of this word. We receive it in our life, and we manifest it now tonight. And every single night of our life. I like those verses in Proverbs. How'd it go again? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all I trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord. But who is the Lord? He's the living word. Trust in the living word with all of your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I mean, like, get serious with all the stuff you think is the word of God. Seriously. I mean, I'm on the other side of it now because I've already challenged all the doctrines I believe. But there was a mess of them. And I still, from time to time, well, I've been dealing with one. I'm going to actually say this to you. I've been dealing with one in my life right now, and maybe you're dealing with it too, and we'll go into communion from this. I've been waking up in the middle of the night just sweating the bed like crazy, saying, Lord, what in the world is going on? Why am I waking up in a sweat? Well, I asked one person about it. They're like, well, that means you have diabetes. I'm like, well, I rebuke that in Jesus' mighty name. I don't have diabetes. And I don't have any other sickness or disease. Why? Because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of me. And I am not going to claim anybody's words about nothing. I have his word living in my heart, and I am going to be filled with the word. So, what did I do? I've begun to say, Father, reveal to me what this is. Every night when I go to bed, when I lay down in bed, I'm like, I receive the revelation of what's going on in my spirit, man. I know you were a joke. That's all right. You did. It's all right, Felicia. It's a good joke, too. But see, I want a revelation. I don't want to just, who knows, whatever it is, there it is, but it'd be all right. I can still handle it. No, I'm not handling it. It's not what you need to handle. It's not what I need to handle. And get it out of your life. Yeah, who told you that? My doctor. Who's your doctor? Yeah, I like that. It's good, Fred says. All of a sudden, one day, God revealed to me what it is. Now, I'm not going to say it because it's a pretty personal thing to me about something that happened in my life. But what was it producing? It was producing a trauma in me while I slept. And the other day, we were just studying the word or something, and all of a sudden, bam, it hit me exactly what it was. I was on the phone talking to one of you or something when a revelation came. I'm like, I saw the picture all of a sudden. I had this picture of a previous point in my life of an event that happened, and I'm like, there's the answer right there. I rebuked that. I rendered the power of that thing having an effect on me. It is powerless in my life. It will no longer have an effect on me another day. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and it doesn't matter what anything was surrounding that situation. I am free, 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 free.
Amen.
And now, last night didn't happen. And I rebuke it every night. What am I doing? I'm now getting the word of God on this, and I'm going to speak that word every night before I go to sleep. Why? Because Jesus is the high priest of my profession. And I'm not going to live every day waking up in the middle of the night having soaked the bed with sweat for what? Because I'm afraid of what? He gives his beloved sleep. I lie down in peace and safety every night. I lie down in shady green pastures by still waters, and he restores my soul. See, the word of God is dwelling in me richly about my sleep. And therefore, I have to sleep at peace. When I lay down, my eyes go closed. I sleep till I wake up and get up and charge like a wild man all day long. Now, Sister Francetta just said, who told you that? My doctor. Who's your doctor? Oh, I see. Now watch. Brother Terry Mize was getting married to his wife, Jackie, his first wife. And then Jackie took off and went to heaven early, so he got married to another lady. And they got a beautiful marriage. But when they were getting married to his first wife, Jackie, she said, now, Terry, before you marry me, you need to know that I won't be able to have any kids. He's like, what? She said, yeah, I won't be able to have any kids. And he said, well, who told you that? She said, well, my doctor. He goes, oh, I thought it was somebody important.
Exactly.
She said, well, no, that's what they said. I'll be an invalid by the time I'm 30. And I'll be in a wheelchair, and I'll never be able to have any kids. I just want you to know that. And if you don't want to marry me because of that, he said, that's all it is. I can handle that, but we're not going to live by that another day, so you stop saying that right now. She goes, what? He said, well, if it's just a doctor that told you that, we know Jesus, and Jesus overcomes that without any problem. And she said, well, if that's how you believe, he said, that not only is how I believe, it's how we're going to live. You'll have all the kids you want. Now watch this. She had four kids And God gave her such a revelation of childbirth, she had them pain-free.
No meds.
No meds.
No pain.
Pain-free and not long deliveries. Why? Because they believed the word of God. And she literally wrote a book called Supernatural Childbirth that's in, I don't know, 13 languages around the world. And thousands of babies have been born because of the revelation that's in that book. When Brother Terry said, who told you that? My doctor. Oh, well, I thought it was somebody important. There is no one more important than
there
Jesus.
There is no one more important.
There's no one. There's nothing more important on the face of the earth than his blood and his righteousness. So it doesn't matter what you're dealing with. Surrender it to God and tell him, I want all of the weaknesses in my life removed in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this wonderful study tonight. Thank you for helping us grind it out, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that your word causes us to be filled with life and life more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus, that your word is alive and well. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. But thank you that you don't want us to memorize many verses. You want us to have the revelation of who you are and what you're doing on this earth. And we receive that revelation from the Holy Spirit, who is our resident teacher on the inside of us. Thank you, Father, that we get to be one with you every day of our life. We give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you the praise. Lord, may every person that hears this message go to the next level of revelation in you, and I proclaim they leave those weak areas of confusing religiosity and move on in you. Never to be limited another day of their life by a religious doctrine, by a religious spirit, or by a religious person, but we all launch into the next place of victory you have for every one of us.
Amen.
In our spirits, in our souls, in our bodies, in our mind, our will, and our motion, in our marriages, in our money, in our mouth, in our ministry. Everything we put our hand to, may the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, abundantly blessed in every area, and has no sorrow with her, be ours. And Father, we charge our enemy guilty for every revelation that we've endeavored to have, and the persecution came, and the fiery darts came, and the onslaught of the enemy came to stop us. We charge him guilty for disturbing the peace. We demand he repays us seven times and double for the shame. And in our lives, everything is restored to us. According to your holy word, Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 61, Joel chapter 2, we receive the work of God done in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, eat it in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, all of it, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Because, verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, Jesus, the head of the church, so are we, the body of Christ, in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. And there is no fear in the communion service either. 1 Corinthians 11:27 says that if you come and drink this in an unworthy manner, you will drink damnation to yourself. The only way that's going to happen to anybody is if they show up here tonight mocking God. But if you're a God mocker, you left this place a long time ago because God mockers are not welcome in this house. And the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to chase the mockers off and only bring the seekers to this kingdom. And we give God glory for it. Now watch this. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation right now. No matter who you are, no matter how many times you've prayed this prayer, pray it again from the depths of your heart and mean it with everything in you. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm already born again. So why would I have it? Because it is you speaking the word of God. I'm leading this in. And if you will speak it out loud again, God will minister it to you again in your life. And that next application is going to set you free in a greater way than you've ever known. And you'll learn the prayer so someday you'll be able to quote it when you're helping somebody else find Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ready? Everybody pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
In every way.
In every way.
According to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
John 1:12.
John 1:12.
When I believe in you.
You
give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you raised again on the third day.
And you have on the third day.
For my deliverance.
For my deliverance.
Put your hands out and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life right now.
Jesus, I receive you into my life right now.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. And amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Now watch this. In that one prayer, somebody just said, Pastor, what's going on inside of me? Well, in that one prayer, you just went from darkness to light. You just went from fear to faith. You just went from your sin to his righteousness. Well, how did I do that? Because when you said to Jesus, come into my life, Jesus is the light of the world. So light filled you. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. So faith just came into you. Jesus is all righteousness. And he just filled you. And all your sin is now wiped away forever. Thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness. Never to be remembered another day of your life. Never again to be remembered another day of your life. And that all just happened in that prayer. The Father just looked over at Jesus and said, adopt them into the family. And you are adopted into the family of God. And according to Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 17, you are now an heir of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus. And everything that heaven has is now at your access because you have become a partaker of his very divine nature. What just happened to you is you didn't get a religion. You didn't get a denomination. You didn't get a church. You just were made into the perfect relationship with God our Father. And from this day forward, your responsibility is to walk with him. That's it. Well, I don't know how to become a Christian. Don't worry about it. Walk with God every day. Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Help me walk with you today.
Help me walk with you today.
You know what's going to happen if you do that? He's going to help you walk with him. Because he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. He'll lead you to a body of believers like this. You need a pastor like me. But I can't sell you me or this church. I got to sell you Jesus. Now, I'm not selling you Jesus. I got to give you Jesus every day, and that's what we do. My email address and website's there so that you can find and know the things of God every day. We've got over 600 videos that we can help you figure out how to serve God. I got a playlist we're working on right now that's got 9 messages about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and the many different aspects of it. And I want you to hear it, and I want you to be blessed by it because it will transform your life forever in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Tell me your story. Give me a prayer request. Ask me a question. I'll be glad to help you walk with God. I don't spam you. I don't beg you for money. I don't do any of that because then I got to receive a 100-fold return of all that bad stuff you do, and I don't like that. I'm only going to be a good leader and bless you in your life and mine in Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Yeah. Run and get your communion elements ready. Pretty cool. I'm going to take communion with my grandsons right here. I keep my grandsons close to me. Micah, Charles, Jeffrey, Elijah, Robert, Raymond, and Josiah, Samuel, James. He's named after me. He's my eldest grandson. Handsome critter, isn't he? Looks just like his paw. Taking communion, boys. Don't be making any mess. Hold your elements up, and we'll receive them together now in Jesus' name. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Everybody pause. If you just were born again, take communion with us. I guess I didn't say that because as soon as I started praying, I had the thought come, you need to welcome all the new believers to take communion with us. You're ready to receive communion. hit pause on the tape, or the app, and then start it back up as soon as you get your stuff ready. Ready? Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement.
The chastisement.
For my peace.
For my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my
body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and
nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing
broken. Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body. Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my
and
community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive the broken body together. Thank you, Lord. And now, to all of our Zoomers, you're supposed to be saying this out loud with me. So, unmute your mics and use discretion. Please be dressed effectively if you're going to have your camera on. That means make sure you got a shirt on. I want everybody to hear us all saying it together because that way we sound like a church because we are. Ready? By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin is placed in remission.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And
I thank you for it.
Thank you.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is
my robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Now, hopefully, you've been enjoying my new song I've been playing in the afternoon, The Blood of Jesus. And tonight, right now, we're all going to sing it together. All right, I don't know it good enough to sing it that way, so just sing The Blood of Jesus with me. The blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, ever lives its power, for it reaches chest to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley.
Hey,
the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.
Brother Roger, bless you. I don't have it mastered yet, but I'm getting there. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, thank you for all of your faith and prayers for all of you around the world. Remember this. You might be somebody that's listened to us for years. I mean, I've had Blog Talk Radio listeners now for 15 years. But if you've never written in and said, hey, Pastor, you got any of that material I can see? I'll be glad to send it to you in any way I can. You might say, I got this question, and I might create a whole new playlist just for you. Why? Because we can do that here. Just because I got a couple that's already there, like 15 or 20, doesn't mean that that's the end of all playlists. I want to make this gospel very workable in your life. And so I encourage you to send me an email. Let me know where you're listening from. Those of you that are around the world, and whatever nation it is, we bless you. Father, we bless Europe again right now to stand up boldly. Thank you, Father, that the angels of the Lord are flipping the Russian tanks and trucks and missiles and fighter pilots and helicopters and missile systems are not working. May their fuel dry up and their food not get through. May there be a defection of Russian troops running to the other side saying, would you please get us delivered from this wickedness that we've had to be a part of? We call it done right now in Jesus' mighty name. May every child find the home of someone who can love them that is now without a parent. We rebuke every child sex slave situation, every child slavery situation, and we declare in the mighty name of Jesus, the angels of the Lord that surround them and protect them and keep them safe.
Amen.
Beat the bloody stuff inside of anybody that messes with them right now in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
We rebuke you. Get off of this stuff. Get out of this mess. Turn your troops around and run back home until God drags you out of Russia to take you out on the hills of Israel. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. You know, makes me want to sing that Bill Gaither song. But I can't sing it because then everybody gets all shook up that Bill Gaither didn't give me permission to sing that song at 10:18 on March 17th, 2022. So go, all y'all go fly your kites to do that. Jesus' mighty name. All right, well, that's it for tonight. Remember, we'll be here tomorrow for noon prayer, praying for the world, praying for the body of Christ. And we bless those of you that's on Zoom. You want to hang around a little bit? We can talk and do a little bit more work on this. Those of you that are with us, come and join us in Zoom. Zoom is open to those partners and friends that want to be a part of this ministry. We love you. We welcome you to be a part of it in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. The closing verse is this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the last verse, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen. And amen.
Amen.